You're listening to the Raising Empowered Humans series here on the Chat About Children podcast. Let's chat. Thank you for joining me for this very special series, the Raising Empowered Humans series. The intention of this series is to share powerful conversations with heart-led leaders, entrepreneurs, experts, innovators, and imaginators who share their stories, philosophies, practices, and principles when it comes to raising empowered humans. This series aims to inspire and energize parents, carers, and professionals who work with children to leave a legacy of raising children who are of highest service to themselves and to the world. Now, I do welcome you to sign up to my newsletter at soniabestelich.com for transformative tips, tools, and strategies to help you be more empowered in raising empowered humans. Let's get this episode started. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Tori Archbold, and she is the founder and director of Powerful Steps, a business that empowers leaders to find their ultimate power through a heart-led skill set and the power of strategic storytelling. With over 24 years of experience in brand building, public relations, digital media, and events through her globally recognized agency, Torstar, Tori has collaborated with some of the world's most influential celebrities, entrepreneurs, and CEOs, delivering extraordinary results for local and international brands. Tori is also the author of Self Belief Is Your Superpower, and she's also the host of the Top 1.5% Powerful Stories podcast. Tori is also the creator of the Business Attraction Program, a proven framework that helps clients attract their ideal customers, partners, and opportunities. Tori's mission is to share her story of survival, resilience, and success, and to inspire others to embrace their authenticity and genuine care for others. And finally, Tori believes that human connection is the key to creating value and impact in any industry. Tori Archbold, welcome to the Chat About Children podcast. I'm super, super excited to have you contribute to this very special series.
Son, I'm excited because you were one of my first clients when I decided to switch careers at the ripe old age of 44. And it's just such a pleasure to see your journey not only flourish, but also the connections that you've made. And this for me was an instant yes, because I love what you're creating for others. So thank you.
Well, the thank you goes right back to you, Tori. Before we jumped on this interview, I was reflecting as to, you know, what was that moment that I really felt that resonance with you before I met you in person. And it was when I was listening to you being interviewed by someone else and you were telling your story. And what really resonated with me so strongly within your story was that strength and essence of self-belief. That was the clincher for me. I'm like, yes, I must work with this woman. And so it is no surprise. It's actually so beautiful, and it's such a celebration to see you articulate your practices, principles, and philosophies in your book, Self-Belief Is Your Superpower. So a massive congratulations to you, Tori.
Thank you, Son.
So let's kick off, Tori. I'd love to start with your childhood, because I'd love to know what you think it was about your childhood that contributed to you being an empowered human today.
Such a great question. And I always think as women, we lead by example, or we lead based on what we experienced in our childhood. And I talk about this a lot in the 5-point framework in not only the book, but in my programs as well, because to truly own who you are and to step into shining a light for others and paying forward your knowledge, it really does start with your childhood journey. So I was the eldest of four daughters and, you know, pretty normal childhood. But I think what my parents wanted to do was place me in a box. And I was a leader. I was a disruptor. I was always the one that was sent out in those days. Leave the room. You're too talkative. I don't know whether that happens in schools anymore. But I look back and what everyone said was not my strength actually became my greatest asset, because I ended up building, you know, a global communications company and attracting all the world's top performing brands, celebrities, and influencers. Now, the other thing was, because I was such a disruptor and I was told that I didn't listen a lot. I really felt that when I was coming up to my final years in school, people were just like, if she passes, she passes. That's just ticking a box. She'll go and get married. Why doesn't she go and study interior design, go and create a beautiful home for other people, join a few clubs, have a white picket fence, and that'll be it. But I was a leader and disruptor from a very, very young age. And of course, a lot of people said, don't be like that. But I knew that if I place myself in the box of perception that others wanted for me, that I would not be able to live with freedom in my heart. And I think the sad thing about being a female is that quite often we are boxed, but it's up to us to choose if we want to step out of that box. And so what happened was, and I always remember this, I got 87.75% in my final year exams. And I remember opening up the envelope in those days and going, oh my gosh, I even surprised myself, let alone everyone else who thought I was, you know, probably going to get maybe 51 or 52. And I thought to myself, this is the first powerful step that I've taken myself to prove that I am capable of more. What do I want to do? Now, unfortunately, you know, my mom had said, well, tick the box for interior design for my degree. So I started doing interior design. I lasted less than a semester. I quit. I backed myself. I went to London and fell in love with the power of storytelling. And this is really where my story begins on, because while everyone wanted to box me, I chose to unbox myself and, you know, go out into the big wide world. You know, tap into the power of human connection, tap into the power of what other people were creating and find my passion and purpose. And so a couple of years later, after, you know, I'd worked with the world's best, Columbia TriStar, George Lucas Films, MTV, Nickelodeon. And by the way, I loved Nickelodeon because it was all the kids and the narrative, yes, and the storytelling and, you know, obviously the crazy times in MTV. I mean, it's all connected because it is the power of storytelling. I came back to Australia and I had an idea. And the idea was that I wanted to create my own destiny. I wanted to create my own business. I had big plans to attract the world's best brands. And of course, I started sharing my idea with others who I really trusted at that point in my life. And they all said, well, that's a really bad idea. You've got no money. You've got no connections. You've got no degree. I bet you can't even write a press release. How are you going to start a communications company? They wanted to box me again. And their advice was the same of my parents, like, you know, really think you should go out and date and marry someone who's going to look after you. And I remember just saying to myself, no, that is not my journey. That is not going to become my story. So when we talk about self-belief, when we talk about backing ourselves, you've got to lead with intent, but most importantly, you've got to lead with passion and purpose, and you've got to follow and trust your heart, your gut instinct, your intuition, whatever it is that is your superpower. And so I started my own business, and fast forward 20 years later, I had attracted all of those incredible brands. I guess the one that I'm most recognized for is the launch of Zara into Australia. And people often say to me, well, how did they find you? How did they know that you were the one? And I think it's really simple in life. If you align who you want to become with your value set, and mine's always been passion, integrity, delivery, like will automatically attract like. So when that launch was going on, and I asked the team from Zara, what was it that actually attracted you to me? And it was, you know, we heard that you were very passionate about creating and building brands. We heard that you were a woman of your word, which is the integrity piece. But most importantly, we heard that you delivered. And that was a delivery value set. So while I didn't have the money, I didn't have the connections, when I had that idea to birth my business at 24, what I did have was myself. And so I always say, if you have an idea, nobody believes in you, you can always go inward and believe in yourself to make it reality. It was like be boxed. And I guess I'm like Jack in the box. I like jumped out of the box and created something quite spectacular that helped not only a lot of brands around the world, but a lot of people as well.
And I love that because there's actually a lot of threads to that, Tori. The childhood was the beginning of it. And really, you've described a beautiful evolution of here's a repeating pattern, but let me repeat the same thing in terms of I'm coming inward and I'm listening to what's speaking loudest. And this is something that a lot of, as we know, a lot of people our age, often they get stuck and they're starting to remember their childhood and remember some of those elements that they've forgotten. So I love that story of strength of foundation, isn't it? You know, self-belief and self-trust. When I say strength, I'm picturing like the root of a tree. All the other opinions is like the wind to the leaves, but then I'm the roots and I'm the trunk. And so that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So Tori, you have a daughter. She's now an adult. No doubt, and I know this, but no doubt you've raised her differently to the way that you were raised. Tell us a little bit about how you feel you've instilled self-belief in your daughter besides modeling it, because obviously you're an incredible model and perhaps there's osmosis, but anything else?
Such a great question. So I was a single mom for 12 years. And I think by giving a bit of a background to everyone, while I was raising my daughter, I was also responsible for everything. So I was the primary caregiver financially, emotionally, and psychologically. And I think that's really important in terms of giving some structure around how I did that. Now, in her formative years, it takes a team and it takes a support group to actually raise a child when you're a single mom. So I can't claim that I did that on my own because I didn't. I did have a support team, you know, around me of nannies and mainly, I guess, friends who were going through similar situations. I really made sure that I had my daughter surrounded by the best of the best. And, you know, even now when I travel overseas for Powerful Steps, I have three or four friends that I say, you know what, I know she's almost 19, but she needs a strong woman by her side that she can call that if I'm not available because I'm on a different time zone, just check in with her or she can check in with you and ask, is this okay? I think that's really important. I did not have that when I was growing up. I think because we had the lack of family as a single family unit, we actually gained so much more because our friends became family. And so Bella's grown up with a group of incredibly strong women around her. And she's seen them navigate challenges. She's seen them rise to the top of their game. And, you know, she's been also surrounded by a lot of challenging and traumatic situations. But the one thing I've always said to her is believe in yourself, back in yourself. And if you feel uncomfortable at any point in time, never fall into the victim pool, fall into this is actually allowing me to grow. You know, this is allowing me to grow. Someone's challenging you on something. I say, great, what's the solution? Whereas if someone was challenging me when I was so young, my parents didn't go, great, learn from it. It was like, oh, you know, this is like drama here. I'm like, get out of the drama pool and find the solution. So I've always said to her, get uncomfortable to get comfortable. That's what makes a great leader. That's also what allows you to really find your passion and your purpose. You know, from a very young age, because I was a working mom, I would always book her into the holidays and she was the youngest one for quite some time to go and learn how to speak in front of a camera, right? And I worked in media, of course, and it wasn't that I wanted my daughter to go out and be a superstar. I wanted her to be confident within herself. I wanted her to be able to walk into any room and someone ask her a question and she would be able to answer it from the heart. And now, you know, we host a lot of events. And the last two events, I said to Bella, you introduced me. You introduced everyone else. And she gets up with such poise and confidence and she speaks from the heart. And I think that's really important that at a young age, you teach your children how to become confident. You know, you don't have to rattle things off and tick a box. Speak from the heart. My daughter does not get up and speak now from a piece of paper. She knows who she is. And I think that investment when she was younger, while I wasn't always there because of the circumstances, I've equipped her with a toolkit that allows her to see challenges as possibilities. And I think you need to lead by example. You need to show people that how you action things and what the outcome is, that there's a possibility that at some point in their life, when they're challenged at that same crossroad, they can go, oh, I remember how my mom did that. Or I remember how my mom's friend did that. You know what? I can do that too.
And that's where the true empowerment comes. And the toolkit is exactly it. You can just picture it now, her just in front of a camera with a mic.
She's and so
just
funny.
And I have had the privilege of meeting Bella. She is an outstanding individual. And a lot of it is exactly as you described, because she is heart-led and she is just comfortable in her own skin. and it's absolutely beautiful. I almost want to congratulate you, but then, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to do from parent to parent, because so many parents get stuck in that whole, you know, we're trying to get it right. And it's not always about that. It's actually not about that at all. But I know that I personally was in that philosophy for a while, not even realizing it. And when we are trying to get it right as parents, that's often when we can feel the cracks in our own self-belief. And so in your book, you have a beautiful chapter, Art of Delegation, which I was drawn to. Like, that was like the highlight this whole chapter. I'd love for you to share more about that chapter and really how the mastery of delegation does actually help contribute to raising empowered humans.
It really does. And I love the fact that, you know, we've all got fault lines. I like to say we're imperfectly perfect. That's why in your last question, Son, I really felt strongly about answering it, saying it wasn't just me that raised my child. I can't claim that. You know what? It does. It takes a team and a tribe and a community of people. But the art of delegation is this, is recognize what you're good at. Now, I was a working single mom for 12 years. I didn't get married until, you know, I was 46, which is in a lot of people's eyes when you listen, you go, oh, I'm only 20 or 30. She only got married at 46. That seems really old, right? But that was my life journey. And so for me, it was so important when I got home that I had time with my daughter. So we obviously had a nanny, and I always made sure that they could cook because I couldn't cook. So the art of delegation for me really was around the fact that when I walked in, I wanted just to enjoy that space with my daughter. So I had that meal prepared. I made sure that that was my time with her. And if we didn't have a nanny, I would make sure that we would get incredible food delivered that was nourishing and wholesome. So that it was just like, okay, I'm whizzing in. I'm kind of pseudo cooking, but I'm spending time with my child. And then there were other things that I recognized that I needed help with. And so I asked and I identified what my strengths were, what I was challenged by. But if I outsourced that, what time would it buy back for me to spend with my daughter? And that was really important. And so in that chapter, I give a little exercise and an overview of the way I've outsourced things in my life. And I still do as well. Like, for instance, I don't buy clothes that need to iron. If I have to go to the dry cleaners, it's very rare nowadays because I value, rather than spending my time ironing my daughter's clothes, my clothes, whatever, my husband's clothes, I want the freedom to be able to have a powerful conversation with them. So I guess the art of delegation for me is, how can you create space in your everyday life so that not only you're spending it with the people that mean the most to you, but you're also spending it with yourself. So on Fridays, I have a non-negotiable time out for me. Now, whether that's a facial, whether that's a massage, whether it's getting my nails done, or this morning I went and had an energy clearing, whatever it is, it's my time, because I learned the hard way that if I don't delegate, my health falls over. And I had a near-death experience 10 years ago. And it really was a big wake-up call because, like many working moms, I was working, you know, 60, 80 hours a week sometimes, different time zones. I placed myself last on the list. So when you're delegating, it is about saying, you know what, I'm not good at everything. I burn spaghetti. So if I'm not good at it, just own it, but get someone who's really good at cooking spaghetti into your life. Enter my husband. You know, so you gotta recognize your faults, but be happy to be imperfectly perfect. And I work with a lot of women going through those transformational phases in their life, and they've got either young kids or teenagers. I feel my parenting has just begun because she's going on this bigger journey where she doesn't have the structure of school and she needs more of my support. It's really figuring out how you can lead and empower and inspire them to stay on track, but recognizing as well that you've got to put your oxygen mask on first, because if you don't, you're of no use to your family, your children, your team, or the vision in life that you want to create.
Wondering how your family can flourish without the sacrifice of your health, wealth, and dreams? Empowering a family to flourish is both an art and a science, and I'm super excited to have packaged decades of expertise to create the flourishing Families program for you. It's time to shift the energy of your family ecosystem with more fun, more freedom, and more fulfillment. Head over to soniabeslich.com and sign up now. You know, self-belief and maintaining it with grace, I believe, is an important life skill to practice, to model, and to teach children, you know, whether they're ours or the children that we work with. And I'd love for you to share more about what you describe in your book, Tori, around taking steps to work in life's flow. Because this is important no matter our age. And I love what you describe in that section. So I'd love for you to share that.
It's really important to understand that not every door is there to open for you. You know, a lot of people get frustrated, and I'll give an example around, you know, you might be working on a big project or you're waiting for some big deal to come off and you're like, you know, this is mine. I know it's mine. That's never going to be yours because of the attitude. The attitude is, if you are in alignment with your values, your intention, your purpose, you are naturally going to attract the right opportunities for you. If you are in flow with your life, you will walk through every door with grace, ease, and gratitude. And, you know, Matthew McConaughey also describes it as the green light. So the way I describe it is total alignment in my book. And I learned when I had my agency that if we were meant to attract brands, if we were meant to grow brands and take them to the next level, then they would find us. And I just trusted that process. Yeah. And so what happened was we had a lot of green lights. We had a lot of doors open for us simply because we're working not only, you know, in heart-based leadership, but also we were very grateful for them choosing us to represent them. Now, doors will shut and they will continue to shut if you have a life lesson that you have not learned. Okay, and this is probably the toughest one. Why aren't I attracting that client? Why didn't they sign up? No. It's a switch of thinking. That door's not opening for me because the experience is meant for another. I am going to attract a bigger and better experience that is right for me. That door's going to open. Trust in the flow. Now, a lot of people go, oh, that sounds so easy. I've only got $1,000 left in my bank account. I really need this to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stand in your power. It will come in, but it will not come in if you don't look at your life patterns, if you do not look at your 5-point story framework, which is the story of your life, which I also talk about in the book, and you don't recognize what your weaknesses are. Now, you've got two choices. You can either choose to turn that weakness into an opportunity. You can either learn the lesson on repeat and it's going to keep like slapping you in the face until you get it.
Yep.
You've got to do the work for the doors to open. And if they shut, please just say to yourself, I'm trusting what the universe has in store for me. I am trusting something bigger and better is going to come along. But please help me to understand the lesson so that I can walk through the door. That is how you attract high vibrational opportunities. That is how you can create a business with passion and purpose that will actually lead the next generation to feel empowered in their own decisions, because not only are you leading by example, but you're creating a legacy for decades to come. And I think, you know, your podcast is around how do you empower children? How do you allow families to flourish? All of these things is stop looking at the negative, look at the positive. And if you're at a crossroad in life, we always have a choice. Now, it's going to be left or right. Which way do you want to go? Now, you might choose left, and left, you go, oh my God, Tori, what happened again? The universe slapped me in the face. Okay, that's okay. Next time, choose to go right. See what that delivers. Just because you chose something that didn't work out doesn't mean that you haven't elevated, evolved, or stepped up into the next level of life, because that's called growth. And we all need growth to find our purpose, to actually be in alignment, to take people to the next level of their life so that the world can become a better place ultimately. That's all we all want, right? We want the world to become
totally
a better place.
Totally. And I think it was too important for me to, well, it was too important, which is why I wanted you to explain it, because it is something that is a practice that will feel natural and organic and embodied the more that we practice that. And essentially, the hope and the intention is that Our children will practice the same with whatever's going on in their life at that time. And as they grow and evolve, that they've also got that, I call it a mechanism, if you like, but that keeps them in flow, that keeps them true to themselves and, again, maintains their own self-belief and self-trust. So
it's so true, Son. And I just want to also say this. When my daughter comes to me, which she does quite often now, she's a teenager, I'm expecting it. She says, "Mom, I made a mistake." And she goes, "Oh, I don't know how to tell you made a mistake." And I always say, "Good." She goes, yeah. "What do you mean, good?" I say, make the mistake, but don't make it twice. I say, "This is great that you've done this. How would you do it differently? How would you step into that decision to make it better for you, the outcome, or, you know, whatever situation you find yourself in? How can you translate your thinking to elevate to the next level?" And a lot of people go, "Oh, you really say that? Don't you want to do the punishment?" I'm always getting in trouble for not punishing my daughter. But I go, you know what? The lesson is the punishment. Lesson is the punishment. Like, let them process it. Let them understand that the challenge is the possibility. Let them walk into any situation in the world going, "I'm going to feel so uncomfortable with this, but I'm going to become a better person." And that doesn't change at any age.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I think it also draws to the point that sometimes you also talk about a lot is you can make a mistake and self-berate for a day, a minute, 10 years, 20 years, like, or you can just acknowledge it, be honest with yourself, still love yourself unconditionally and know you're going to do something different next time.
Yeah.
And that's where the empowerment piece comes in.
It is. It's through the honesty piece. And I think, Son, that is the hardest thing for women of any age to acknowledge the truth within themselves, because so often people don't want to face themselves in the mirror. But I always say, ultimately, if you can get out of the shower in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror with such self-love, abundance, and happiness, how cool is that? You can walk into any room anywhere in the world and you can attract the most insane opportunities, get those green lights, get those doors opening for you, because it all starts from here, the heart, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful, Tori. Beautiful. So to finish up, are there any kind of powerful self-belief mantras that you'd like to share as a bit of a take-home message?
So a happy heart is a magnet for miracles. When I almost lost my life 10 years ago, I did 12 rounds of antibiotics. I lost 8 kilos in 5 days. Thank God for a little bit of extra fat on my body. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened. But the surgeon just said to me, "Look, Tori, unless you understand the power of being happy within yourself, which comes from self-love, self-acceptance, remove the toxicity from your life, which is breaking old family patterns, friendships that are takers rather than mutual exchange of energy, the whole shebang," he said, "you will never, ever be able to go out in the world and create a legacy." And I took that seriously and went off all the antibiotics, everything, put myself on the top of the list, put my oxygen mask on first every single day. And I now teach people that happiness is the key to freedom. Happiness is also the key to the doors opening, the opportunities, attracting the right people into your life. Honestly, I do not attract any toxic people into my life anymore. It's all based on a mutual exchange of energy. And I always say this to myself, practice what you preach. You know, number one thing every single day is, how do I want to step into it? Yeah, with passion and purpose, aligned to my values, my intent, and creating a memorable experience for people that in years to come, they can say, "I was at that crossroad," but a happy heart that's a magnet for miracles actually makes sense because it got me traveling down the right runway. And, you know, when people pass over, rather than dying with regrets, which I talk about in the book as well, they can just say, "I lived the best life. I've left nothing on the table. I am going to the other side so happy because I understand that happiness attracts the miracles in life."
Tori, what a beautiful, beautiful way to finish this interview. Please let everyone know where they can learn more about you, where they can buy your book, obviously your website, but tell us more about where they can
Oh, thanks, Son. You're so generous. It's powerful-steps.com. And I believe that when you show up for yourself, you should also show up for others. So you can follow me on LinkedIn, Tori Archbold, or at Powerful Steps on Instagram. And the book is available around the world. And if you're like me and you just like things delivered straight to your door in Australia, Amazon Booktopia.
Amazing. Thank you, Tori Archbold. Always a pleasure. Can't wait to see you very soon in person.
Big hugs. Thanks, Son.
Thank you, Tori.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining the Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich. www.chataboutchildren.com.